5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Monday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show. Powered by Chevron, we are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here. And you know what today is? It's really big because it's the start of the first official week of college football, Angel. We got a lot. We got high school football for us here at KFK starting up on Friday as well. Brand new play-by-play commentator Michael Spillin will be rocking on the call there. Bruce Dick going to join him this Friday for color commentary. So looking forward to it. And then, Angel, you get rocking and rolling at 5 o'clock on Fridays with football night in Northern Colorado. You pumped for that, man? You ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We set you up Fridays here. Obviously, we'll have our football Friday at 1 o'clock. I'm sure Tanner will be putting together something football-y on Friday as well. So Fridays on KFKA, you know, belong to football. Whether we're talking preps, we're talking college, we're talking pros, it's going to be a lot of football. So we are looking forward to it. Get this Broncos season underway in a couple of weeks. But we got to talk about, of course, the preseason game two for the Broncos. And they lose again. It was like almost the exact same situation. The Broncos score with like 5 minutes to go and maybe looks like they're going to win the game. San Francisco gets the ball back with plenty of time. They go down and get a game-winning field goal. And that's it. But again, we know we're not analyzing the wins and losses here. If this were a regular season game, again, you'd be saying, did the Broncos score too fast? Because they did. I mean, Jaleel McLaughlin had the monster kick return. And then shortly after that, the Broncos get inside the 10-yard line thanks to a carry by Tony Jones. He busted in on to the 9. And then McLaughlin gets it in after that. And the Broncos score. A lot of time left. But you're not going to fault guys for going and trying to score touchdowns, especially in the preseason. So a lot to analyze. A weird snag at the end of the first half. You know, did he have time to get that thing off? That was close. But, man, they didn't spend any time trying to review that. Whether or not Jalen Virgil had the touchdown or not, got in the end zone. They barely looked at it. I don't even know if they did look at it. So that was an issue. I know Sean Payton was frustrated with that. But a lot to go off of from that game. Russell Wilson only played one series. The opening drive, they drive down and they get a field goal. Better than the 3-and-out. Russ went 3 of 6 for 24 yards. He ran. There's your over-under for rushing yards, Angel. I honestly think Sean Payton might have been just saving Russ from himself. Russ ran 3 times for 25 yards, and he looked good. He looked quick. He was buying time with his feet. So you just wonder, did Sean Payton look at that and go, yeah, Russ is ready to go. He is running around like crazy. Let's not be silly here and get this dude hurt. He took a pretty decent hit on the sideline. His foot bounced up and hit the little sound bubble thing. And so, you know, I worried about that. I'm like, ooh, you don't want to twist your ankle or something in a preseason game. So, yeah, that's the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is, do you have any issues with Russ playing only one series in that game? Any issues with that? And I don't. I mean, you got a nice drive there. That was a really solid drive by Russ and completed a couple of passes. You got to see Javonte Williams in. They gave him a ton of looks early in that first series or two. And so that was like Sean Payton saying, hey, we want to get this guy hit. We want to get him used to an actual football game because it'd been a while. So I have no issues with it whatsoever. I think that might just be a point where, you know what, it's about depth at this stage. We want to take a look at Stidham and see what he has, see how this offensive line can protect, and we're not going to get too crazy with Russ overall. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you guys have any thoughts on this one, the poll question, the game itself, whatever, I got a lot to get to. Short time to do it. Dude, it's football season. I mean, it's here. We've got plenty of great shows coming up for you, too. The Clay Millen Show makes its triumphant return to the whole show coming up on Tuesdays. We're going to be catching up with the quarterback for the UNC Bears, Jacob Sermon, every Monday here live at 11 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. And great interviews, great guests that'll fill the time throughout the course of the football season. So, man, if you are a football fan, not just a Broncos fan, but we're going to be talking plenty of Broncos, but if you're a football fan, the whole show's the place to be. That's the program. Set a reminder on your phone, 11 o'clock, every weekday. We are hitting a lot of football talk. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFK. And I'm going to say it, the good for me, because the real good story for me is a separate story, and I'll get to that in a moment. But Russell Wilson lost 15 pounds. He's not eating the mac and cheese. And I think it's showing already. He was running around. It wasn't just the rushing yards that he had. It was buying time with his feet. Stepping up into the pocket. Room in that pocket. Different than last year. Last year was just so congested every time. It looked difficult. I don't think the drive looked that difficult for Russ. So I was really impressed with what I saw. And Sean Payton has handled this preseason, I think, in a really interesting way. It's allowed us a lot of real looks at guys that might make a difference this upcoming season. The bad for me is the wide receiver issue. And again, just you got Jalen Virgil, who's going to be out now for a few weeks. He had the big reception. He has big playability. He had one reception for 50 yards. Maybe should have been a touchdown. Maybe not. Didn't really take much time to look at it. But I liked that. The issues, though, were, I believe, I have it in my notes here, was it 5 offensive holding calls on wide receivers in this game? That's something where we thought, man, Tim Patrick is going to be such a difference maker in blocking for this team. You know what, Angel? In the preseason, I'm okay with wide receivers getting holding calls. It means they're at least out trying to block. They're making contact with defensive players.
It could also be a point of emphasis for refs.
That's true.
Something they want to keep looking at.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it, because teams are running those screen plays, those little short pass plays to running backs now, where it allows receivers to an opportunity to go out and make a block. I'm not alarmed by it necessarily. I'd rather see that than wide receivers just kind of giving up. And the ugly for me, how about this one? Frank Clark, he played all the way into the fourth quarter. He was not particularly thrilled about it. He was asked about it, and he said, he was asked, when was the last time he played in the fourth quarter of a preseason game? He said, I don't know, a long time ago. And they asked, well, what did you think about playing so late in that game? He said, that's not a question for me to answer. That's something you've got to ask our coaches about. So is there something negative brewing there with Frank Clark? He's in a battle. I mean, Jonathan Cooper is trying to win that spot right there. Jonathan Cooper was really good in that game, and I love seeing the zero. I heard Tanner talking about that. I absolutely love it. Jonathan Cooper has been solid with Randy Gregory, and so do you. And again, I know the positions are interesting because you have Gregory playing as that linebacker / D end, and Cooper's his backup. And then, you know, you want to see what that's going to look like with potentially Nick Benito. You might move guys around in different positions and things like that, because you have Frank Clark listed as that left defensive end, along with Zach Allen as the right defensive end. Is that something where you move guys around a little bit into more of a defensive end, a straight up true defensive end position in the 3-4? Now, I'll be curious to see, well, how Vance Joseph kind of works the defense around, knowing that. You got talent. Frank Clark's a talented guy still, but it's not like a direct position-by-position battle between Clark and Jonathan Cooper because of the positions they play. But you see guys move around all the time. Angel, guy can play a linebacker in a base 3-4, but also can move around and play a defensive end, which you're kind of a hybrid between a D-tackle and a defensive end. So I'm curious to see how that one plays out, if there's drama going on with Frank Clark. But Sean Payton has a list of guys that he needed to see more of, and Russell Wilson was not one of them. I think he's happy with what he's seeing with Russ. And he wants to see how Jonathan Cooper does with a few more reps, how Randy Gregory does. Randy Gregory played late into that game, too. He hasn't played a lot of football, but he's even saying, hey, I got to earn my contract. I got to earn my keep here. So that's the right attitude to have. Peyton wants to see more from Frank Clark. Vance Joseph wants to see more from Frank Clark. You know, you saw Kareem Jackson play a little bit later in this one. There was a lot of guys that were playing. You know, once Russ came out, there were still a lot of starters involved in this game. And that just goes to show me Sean Payton's viewing the preseason way differently than Nathaniel Hackett did. Hackett looked at this like, hey, we know we're guys. We're good. Preseason's a waste of time, fellas. Let's just try young guys out. I think Payton has mixed in a nice, he's had a nice mix of, here's the guys I know what I'm getting from them, but I want to see how they work together a little bit more. And here's some young guys like Jaleel McLaughlin that I want to see if he can earn a spot. And, dude, it looks like he's earning a spot. So, interesting game. You're not looking at the win-loss. You're just not. You're just looking at how players looked. And there's no – the red flags right now, okay, is the offensive line. The offensive line looked a little bit better. The blitz wasn't as heavy as we saw against like what we saw when we with the Cardinals game. I think that will round out and you get McGlinchey back out there. That will take care of itself, hopefully. Wide receiver depth continues to be a concern. Jalen Virgil with the nice play would have made Broncos country feel very good. You know, not good about the loss of Tim Patrick, but at least, hey, that's something. But now he's out for a couple of weeks. And you're just left looking at this depth chart, man. It's Courtland Sutton and it's Jerry Jeudy, and then who? Brandon Johnson's questionable still. We don't know what exactly his timetable is going to look like. Is Callaway going to get more time now with Virgil questionable for the next? Well, he'll be out for the next couple of weeks. He won't play Saturday. But then you have a week off in between, so who knows? Maybe we'll see him. Kendall Hinton was getting involved. He had a holding call, too. I think almost every receiver at one point had a holding call. The tight end situation, I thought Greg Dulcich had a nice couple of nice plays. A couple of nice blocks. Albert O's getting in as like the fifth tight end, but he was making some big blocks. So we're seeing battles right now. We're seeing guys go out and try to fight for a starting job, a backup job, you know, higher up on the depth chart. And I think that's what you want to use the preseason for, especially when you are not an established football team. And it's just, it's glaringly obvious that Hackett, he screwed up so many things last year. But the first thing was how he handled the preseason. Sean Payton will not be guilty of that. Denver's been trying to win football games so far in this preseason. We'll see what it looks like for that final game coming up. We're almost done with the preseason, man. Just like that. We're on our final week of preseason football. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Second segment, we're going to talk about my Zvi Brewing Whole Show Player of the Week. First one of the football season slash preseason, whatever you want to call it. We'll tell you who that's going to be coming up next. It's the Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, our game beer of the week, thanks to On the Rocks Liquor from Breckenridge there. It's their Vanilla Porter. Try that one out throughout the course of the week and tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. We love what On the Rocks Liquor does. They support local breweries like Zvi Brewing. You can get a Zvi Brewing beer in there. Zvi's in Fort Collins, of course, but I want to shout out to Zvi in particular because they're bringing back my Whole Show Player of the Week throughout the course of this season. It's going to be a lot of football for the time being, but I'm sure we're going to throw in some basketball when we get into October and November, so it will be the competition will get a little bit more fierce as we go. But my very first Whole Show Player of the Week this football season, preseason-ish, is Jaleel McLaughlin for the Denver Broncos. We're going there. God, he's good. He's fun to watch. 7 carries for 45 yards and a rushing touchdown. 2 receptions for 8 yards and a receiving touchdown, 44 kick return yards, including that kick return he had to really set up that final touchdown by the Broncos. And so I'm pumped for this guy. He's got to make the team. I don't think there's any doubt now. I mean, they misspelled his name the week before, and he doesn't care. He's just happy to put on a Broncos uniform. And then he comes out and just dominates with the time that he had on the field. So I think he's going to be a heck of a player. I don't know if we have both of those touchdowns that he had. That rushing touchdown was sweet. Well, actually, the receiving touchdown, the screenplay. He's making guys miss. Here's Jaleel McLaughlin.
McLaughlin going to break a tackle and give Denver the lead back. Big run right away. DiNucci to McLaughlin in the flat. Cuts it back and scores a Denver touchdown.
I mean, just quick little hits for him. He's showing that he can handle, receiving the ball, making some plays happen, and then running hard. Looks like he has pretty good vision, too. So that's my whole show player of the week, Jaleel McLaughlin, running back for the Denver Broncos. Ed Lamb's going to join the show in about 5 minutes on, Joe. Are you ready to rock and roll? I mean, UNC plays next Thursday. The Ed Lamb era for the University of Northern Colorado begins next Thursday. What's your excitement level for this UNC Bears football team, Angel, as we're about a week and a half away?
Well, you guys know I'm a UNC homer a little bit.
You are.
And I've tried to quench my optimism with this team ever since Ed Lamb got hired, but the more I hear from him, the more I hear from these players, they are not rebuilding. That is not their mentality. That word doesn't even exist to them. They want to win. They expect to win. Whatever happens, happens, but their goal and their mindset is to win and create a winning football program.
Yeah. I mean, just they're putting in the work. Again, Blake Olsen, Matt Gaither doing their work on the sidelines out there at practice, kind of on a daily basis. The video work that Blake has put together has helped us piece together a little bit of this story and this preview of what this Bears team's going to look like. So I'll be curious to get Coach Lamb's thoughts on what's kind of clicking. I heard Gaither was saying he's been, the last week or so, really impressed with the offense. You know, some high flyers out there moving and shaking. So maybe we see some fireworks from this. I believe it's going to be a balanced attack. It's kind of what we've heard from Ed whenever the last time we talked to him was, a couple months ago. But now you're getting, obviously, a better feel for what this team's going to look like. So I'm curious his thoughts. Coaches are always, they'll tell you some of the things they're concerned with and things like that. But you just don't know until you see them really go up against an opponent. That's going to be at Abilene Christian next Thursday, August 31st. Thursday Night Football. Might have to make that part of the Thursday Night Special, Angel.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Coach Lamb approaches this. Just seeing how he approaches a team, getting prepared for a game. And then obviously being on a Thursday night in Texas, it's going to be a little muggy, but they played Houston Baptist, I believe, last year in a similar type of, weeknight game. So we'll see. But I think this team is just excited to get on the field and excited to just play for something.
Guessing
play for a coach that believes in them and play for a program that realizes that they need to get on the right track. And this is where it starts.
I'm guessing Abilene Christian doesn't have a dome.
No. Texas football, true and true.
It'll be pretty warm, but it will be later at least. At least it's not in the middle of the day.
A little muggy.
Yeah, a little muggy.
Football weather.
Football weather. Our pregame show for that will start at 5 o'clock. And so we'll be rocking and rolling there with Blake Olsen and Matt Gaither on the call. Matt played for the Bears. He played under Ernest Collins Jr., and he played under Ed McCaffrey, too. So
He's in the trenches.
Getting hit. Yeah, offensive line. And he played D-line a little bit over there at Air Force. So he's going to bring his expertise and knowledge of playing Division I college football to these broadcasts each and every week. So we can't wait for that. 11:28 the time. Ed Lamb, UNC Bears head football coach, coming up next. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Matt Gaither, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310. KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. If you guys want to get at us or have questions for UNC Bears head coach Ed Lamb, you can text us on our First Advantage text line. That's 888-530-0043. As we are, we're in that mode, man. We're in full-on preview mode. We're less than a week and a half away from the start of the season for the UNC Bears, as they'll be headed to Abilene Christian for a Thursday night game next Thursday. We're finally in the next week territory. Joining us now, head coach for the UNC Bears, Coach Ed Lamb. Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Absolutely. Glad to be with you.
Coach, the crowd loves it. They're ready to go. How are you feeling these days? I've enjoyed all the video work we've been seeing on Twitter from the University of Northern Colorado. Our boy Blake Olson's getting after it, helping to tell that story. But who better to help us tell that story than you, Coach? How you feeling on this 21st day of August about your football team?
It's been heaven on earth, man. We've had long days of football, and the guys have really responded well. I think there's been excellent effort, excellent attention to detail. I think these guys are, you know, really committed to each other, and it shows up in practice and in our film sessions and our weight room sessions every day.
What has kind of stood out to you so far, Coach? I mean, obviously, not every day is going to be perfect, or maybe it is. What has stood out to you? Let's talk about the offensive side of the football first. I know we're pumped to see what Jacob Sermon has in store for us at the quarterback side of things, but what in particular have you kind of noticed that you can let our listeners in on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I feel like we have the talent to be balanced, and not just balanced in our play calls. I think sometimes we get hung up on, you know, how many runs or passes might have been attempted, but I think we can really make a run at being balanced in our production, make sure that we've got explosive plays in both our passing game and running game, but also being able to take advantage of available underneath yardage in both of those phases. And I think that we have the right tools to do that, and I'm excited about the way our coaches are taking advantage of those tools.
What have you seen from Jacob Sermon, Coach? We had a chance to catch up with him last week. He's just a great guy, great young man to talk to. But I know there's some pretty big expectations. I know he's setting some big expectations for himself, and fans of the program are ready to see what he can do.
Yes, I think he has all the tools that he can be as successful as he works and wants to be this year. He's met us at every turn. He's been a fantastic leader, and he can make all the throws. We really expect him to have a fantastic year.
We're talking to UNC head coach Ed Lamb. Coach, on the defensive side of the ball, we know we got two studs there. I know there's a lot of studs on this team, but big names that folks will know, David Hoge, Jordan Apke, those guys. Can you talk to us a bit about David Hoge? Things are going to be a little bit different for him, moving around, changing up his position a little bit.
Yes. Well, you know, I think at least the names of it. The name that he made for himself in the past was as a pass rusher, creating havoc in the backfield. And that's what he'll continue to do for us in the system that we run. And that was in the past that was called a linebacker, but really he played at the line of scrimmage, didn't do a lot of pass dropping. And so in most systems, he would be, you know, his skills and his highlight from the past, those would be considered defensive line type traits. What he did do is worked incredibly hard in the offseason, not only to come back from his injury, but to meet us with our target body weight in the 260s. And he's been able to maintain that now through training camp. And so we just expect him to be a much more well-rounded player than he was before his injury. I felt like, you know, when I watched the video of the past, he was really dynamic at getting to the passer, did a really good job of slithering through and making plays in the backfield. But he has goals to play this game in the NFL. And so we talked about him being a more complete player, being able to take on offensive linemen and shed blocks and work the whole line of scrimmage. And he's done a really good job of that so far.
Coach, don't you see that more and more? I mean, even watching some of the Broncos preseason stuff and how they're moving guys around, and yeah, maybe they're classified as this, but really they're a defensive lineman. They're getting after it. They're going to rush the quarterback. We've kind of seen that evolve in the NFL where, yeah, maybe this is what the position states, but really this is their main job.
Absolutely, yeah. And by the end of the season, of course, it becomes obvious. You know, if guys aren't dropping into their pass rushes or dropping into pass zones and covering guys man to man, then that's a defensive end. Or a lot of teams now are using, and even in the NFL Combine, you see it a lot more. Just the designation of an edge player, which I think is, you know, somebody that maybe can occasionally drop into coverage, but more often is going to be setting the edge and rushing the passer.
We're talking to UNC head coach Ed Lamb. The Bears start their season up next Thursday night. I'm excited about that. Before we get into the Thursday night feel, coach, how about Jordan Napke? That's another really solid player for you guys. Is he kind of moving around his position too, moving maybe from moves to linebacker more primarily rather than a safety?
Yes, he is. Another guy that's done what we've asked, just bought into the system and what we're trying to do for guys. And, you know, it may be that, in terms of how close to the ball he's lining up and the techniques that we're asking him to use, it may be more of a name change than anything as far as his position. I think in the past he played a lot of what I would call down safety, and he was down in close to the action, and we're going to continue to have him do that. But he's also a primary pass dropper for us. And in this defense, he's a hybrid position between a safety and a linebacker. But much like David, we asked him to gain weight, and he did that, and I think he's going to hold up really well.
How much of a luxury is that? You just talked about a couple of those key players there in the buy-in. They're doing everything you ask them to do. And I know, you know, people are just listening in. They think, yeah, we hope that's the case for a lot of these players. But, Coach, you've been at this a while now with teams, and sometimes getting that buy-in can be difficult, especially year one with a program.
I think it's incredibly difficult, and in a place like this where a lot of these guys that are veterans have had, you know, I'm their third head coach, and there can be a burnout of new coaches coming in, wanting to do things new ways, put new pressures on, and to restart every time. And, you know, I think what we would all hope to see is that a new coach comes in and there's excitement and all that. But I think in the end, it's just us working with these players, and after a day or two, we really have to earn every bit of trust that we can earn. And we've got to set about doing that daily. And then when we ask players to change and be different and do something new, you know, they're going to respond to that based on how we've treated them in the time we've been here.
Well, I think that's interesting you bring that up, too. A lot of these guys have had a couple of head coaches. Maybe they're on their third head coach at this point. And you entering that situation kind of know, okay, we got to enter this somehow delicately. It's hard to just bust in and say, this is how we're going to do it, the way we're going to do it. Is it more of a gradual approach when you go with these guys, knowing they've had a lot of different coaches running the show for them?
Yeah, I think it's, if not gradual, it's certainly, I think they deserve to have explanations. I think they deserve to be explained the reasons why we're asking them to do the things that we're doing. And then I think that, it's really important that they see from us that same commitment, that same work ethic, that same accountability. And so that's probably, you know, the mold that I'm cut the strongest in is, I want my coaches to make sure that we're emulating the exact behavior we want out of these players.
UNC head football coach Ed Lamb joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Coach, the season starts next Thursday. I absolutely love that. For me as a fan, I'm just pumped because in my mind, I'm like, man, UNC owns it. For fans here, we get to just set our focus on all things UNC taking on Abilene Christian next Thursday. How do you feel about playing on a Thursday night?
I really like it, especially for the home opener. I think it can be difficult in the midseason, and being at BYU, you know, for the last several years, those guys being independent, we had a lot of those Thursday and Friday television contracts, and it's always difficult to come off of a Saturday game and then prepare for a short week. But the first game of the season, it really is an advantage. We start camp a couple of days earlier, and then we've got a couple of days extra preparation for our next opponent, which is our first home game against Incarnate Word.
And Incarnate Word coming up, too, September 9th. Can't wait for that one. The buzz surrounding this football program, and, Coach, what you've kind of brought this mentality to this team, and I think there's people are pumped to see what it's all about. And, like I said, Thursday night football, for us here at the station, it doesn't get any better than that.
I know our players are excited, the whole program, and we're all buzzing around here, and we're getting into a regular game week type preparation now. School started today, and so we don't have the guys here all day long in the facility anymore, and I think everybody can just feel that impending march of game one.
Is that an interesting transition, Coach? I'm always curious to know how that goes from fall camp, and then when you train, even though it's not officially game week, you're trying to get into your game week habits, and guys are going back to school too. How do you juggle that and balance that as things kind of change up a little bit this week?
you know, I really do think that the seasonality of football in general is something that I think is important that coaches and players buy into. You know, nobody probably can sustain the type of effort that we put into this, year round. To be putting that kind of effort into football year round would just be physical and mental burnout. So, you know, training camp was a blast. Like I said, it was heaven on earth. But, now we're moving into the season, and I think the guys appreciate that. I think the coaches appreciate that. A little more time to study the video and work on our next opponent. And for the players, a chance to balance out their lives a little bit more. And, you know, in the end, they are here first for their educational experience academically. And so they're able to start to balance that out. I think it's a fantastic transition.
Coach, we've had an opportunity here. We do a high school football training camp coverage. Several teams that we're talking to, coaches and players. And a lot of them, when I've caught some of the interviews, you know, there's been talk about UNC and the relationship with Coach Ed Lamb. And you hear a lot of these coaches, you know, really positive about what you're doing and how you're communicating with them. And I'm not going back in the past. I just don't know if that was as big of a thing over the last few years. But I know you have spoken about recruiting locally throughout the state, especially since you got here. How important is that to you? I mean, we're hearing it from high school coaches that it's important, but can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you view it?
Well, it's important enough that I'm staking my job on it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no question about it. I believe that the right way to win at Northern Colorado and to win consistently is to do it with Colorado players. I think that we're a player development program. We're, you know, the list of things that recruits look at, from tradition to facilities to NIL deals, you know, we're not going to win a lot of head-to-head recruiting battles with the Mountain West or the rest of the Big Sky. But that doesn't mean that we can't be successful. And I believe the major determinant to our success is how hard we try. And I believe these Colorado players are going to try incredibly hard for us. That doesn't mean we won't have, you know, players from outside of Colorado, but I can promise you, you'll see the bulk of our roster begin to shape up as from Colorado and take a lot of pride in representing Colorado.
I just think that's so important. I love hearing you say that, and I've heard you say it since day one. It's big for the type of school that the University of Northern Colorado is getting these guys that are throughout the state that truly can take pride in their school and in their program. And, you know, again, just talking to various coaches throughout Northern Colorado prep scene, I mean, they're all very thrilled. So, Coach, I mean, it's fun to see what you've done so far. Counting down the days, I cannot wait until next Thursday. We're looking forward to it. And we just we wish you the best of luck this season, Coach.
Oh, sure. Appreciate it. Thanks for all the attention that you give us and keeping track of what we're doing. We're excited about it, too. Hopefully we can give you something to really cheer about.
I believe that's going to happen. Coach, good luck next Thursday. And we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Thanks, guys.
UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. Angel, I've said this for years, just in passing with people about the UNC Bears. You know, hey, worst case scenario, you go out and you get local names that people know in the area. Because you know who's coming to those games?
Parents, brothers, sisters, grandmas, cousins.
Alumni.
Everybody.
That want to go support a guy that they followed for 4 years at Fort Collins or Greeley West or maybe somewhere in Denver, some of these schools, or throughout the state of Colorado. That is, to me, the biggest reason I'm excited for Ed Lamb, not just on the X's and O's side. That's going to sort itself out next Thursday. We're going to find out what this team truly is. But what he's trying to build here, and he says it, it's kind of a developmental program in that stage right now. It doesn't always have to be. But if you're in that situation, you're wanting to build your football team through local names where you can really build up a strong fan base. And then it makes it a more attractive place to want to play every Saturday when you start to build that up.
Sure, and, you know, he mentioned about just playing with pride and playing, you know, you're playing for your home state, your hometown, wherever it is, and you're still here playing in that state. And I think that's cool, and it just opens up so many opportunities for these kids that maybe they're on the verge of getting a D2 scholarship or maybe they're just right there and need a D1 scholarship and they just can't quite get it. UNC is the place for you. They want you there. They want you to come and develop and, you know, learn skills, learn, you know, simple stuff with football, but also buying into a program and wanting it to succeed.
Well, I just look back, and I know you guys talked about it last week. The one that got away, like the biggest the one that got away story for the UNC Bears is Austin Ekeler. That kid would have played for the UNC Bears. Mm-hmm. He would have been a UNC Bear, and he would have represented the UNC Bears while he's playing for the Chargers at a high level. And for whatever reason, was overlooked. And that guy from the town of Eaton, talk about a town that loves their football and loves their players well beyond graduation and all that. That would have been a guy that obviously we didn't know how good he was going to be. I watched him. I was calling games at that point. I was doing color commentary for those games. That guy did everything. If anything, I'm putting that guy in a Bears uniform because I know the town of Eaton's going to show up on Saturdays to watch this kid because when they're not playing, they're playing on Fridays primarily. I mean, that would have been a huge move. And now what happened? He's bitter. He's bitter about the UNC Bears. That's not going to be the case anymore with Ed Lamb. He's going to find guys throughout the state that maybe, for whatever reason, are getting overlooked by Colorado State and Colorado. Colorado's, they're not messing with a lot of in-state recruiting. That's not going to be, I mean, CSU's, you know, they're in there. They'll mess with it. It's not going to be their focus, though. Their focus is going to be who can we get that's going to be the best player to fit this roster, regardless of where they're from. And UNC is going to be looking for that, too. They're going to be looking for great players that they can get. I don't know how much they're going to use the transfer portal in the coming years, but I do think primarily, I don't know what the percentage is going to look like, but it's going to be Colorado kids.
Oh, and they've used the transfer portal in the last since it's been going, so it's a tool, but it's not their primary tool.
Yeah, I mean, down in Boulder, that is their primary tool, is using the transfer portal. That's what it is. But I've said it for years, for UNC to be successful, I think local names. Get local names, and then you start discovering guys that come in. They were damn good 4A players, 5A players, whatever, and they come over here and it takes a little time, but then they start popping, they get it going, and who knows? Maybe they stick around or they find a different opportunity. But I think Ed Lamb is approaching this the best way possible going forward. Next Thursday, Abilene Christian, 6 o'clock, our pregame coverage, our blue and gold pregame show will be at 5 o'clock with Blake Olson and Matt Gaider. And then their home game, the home opener, Incarnate Word, on September 9th. You ready for that?
That's going to be a big game.
Mm.
I can't wait for that one.
And then they're at Washington State the very next weekend.
There you go.
Yeah, I was looking to see if there's a bye in there. Yeah, it's going to be a big game. The big stretch here.
Oh, yeah.
For the Bears. Certainly a big stretch. And then they'll get into their Big Sky play starting on September 23rd when they're at Idaho State.
You're going to shock the Big Sky a little bit. I think they're going to get at least one big upset.
I hope so, man. I really do. I like their quarterback. I like some of the defensive guys. I like a lot of these running backs, too, it seems like.
I like that their O-line is almost averaging over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Love
big
that.
Boys. Alec Pell.
Big tight end.
Should be a big game changer for this team. It's just a steady way to go about your business. Way different than what we saw the last two and a half years. Different. 11:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Love Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, and you probably have heard of them because they've been the specialist in the medicine of motion for over 53 years now. They have 7 medical campuses around the Front Range. They're proud to also be Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. So if you are in need, if you're hurting, you know, you got shoulder pain, you got hip pain, leg pain, whatever, Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, maybe it's time to get in there. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. In the second hour, we'll get to our lunch rush, of course. Some interesting stories coming out over the weekend, all things, a lot of preseason stuff. And this 76ers thing with James Harden, man, it is just, that is a weird story, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard a bit of it this morning, just perusing ESPN. But the NBA has launched an inquiry into this weird lying thing with James Harden and the Sixers owner.
Yeah. It's very bizarre. So we'll get into that in the second hour. A little bit more on the Denver Broncos preseason game. Your thoughts there. So a lot to go here on Monday's edition of the whole show, powered by Chevron. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.